Good to be together. Would you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3? Ephesians chapter 3. We're crossing over a chapter from 2 to 3 today. Full disclosure, we're not going to get too far in chapter 3, but just a wonderful chapter. And really, it's a neat theme of prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. And I don't know about you, but prayer just keeps coming up. You ever have one of those weeks where it seems like a certain theme just keeps surfacing, whether it's through email or conversation or song you hear? Prayer has been that for me this week, and I'm sensing I need to focus in my teaching on prayer over the next 5 or 6 weeks. But how neat is it that actually, as we get into chapter 3, it's really a chapter that has a lot to do about prayer. I'm going to read the whole chapter and give you a full context and full picture of what the Apostle Paul is saying by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So follow along, Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. 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 This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Wonder, let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your holy word, your inspired word. Thank you, God, for this text today. Lord, draw us to yourself. Write upon our hearts your truths. And find us faithful, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, 2 weeks ago, by the way, the title of my message this morning is Pray for the Persecuted. Pray for Persecuted. Should be a "the" in there. Pray for the Persecuted. Just a couple of weeks ago, these pictures were on our TV screens from Easter Sunday in Colombo, Sri Lanka. quite the images we saw as fellow believers were worshiping Jesus. Muslim terrorists bombed churches and hotels targeting our brothers and sisters. Hundreds died. Just 2 days ago, the BBC published an article with this heading, Christian persecution at near genocide levels. That was May 3rd. May 3rd. Prince Charles posted a video along with the BBC article expressing concern for persecuted Christians. With these kinds of things occurring on the other side of the world, in places like, you know, Sri Lanka and North Korea, and, well, that's North Korea, I believe, on here, and other places, it seems, it's almost hard for us to really grasp, right, what it must be like. It's in the news one day, and then it's gone. And so quickly we forget. But those who live there, those who have loved ones or who themselves are in prison for Jesus, or mourning for a life that was taken even 2 weeks ago, do you think they've forgotten? Do you think they've forgotten? Not at all. Look at Ephesians 3, verse 1. I want you to notice a word that we can read over very quickly. What does Paul begin by saying? For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles. And then he pauses. What's the word? Did you catch it? It's almost a footnote. The Apostle Paul, is he writing from an office? Is he writing from a room in a house, a comfortable chair in a house? Is he writing from a Mediterranean beach somewhere? Far from it. Where's Paul writing from in the first century? He's writing from prison. He's writing from prison. For the first time since we started studying the book of Ephesians, we find out that Paul is incarcerated. He's in jail. Perhaps it's house arrest. Some historians believe he may, in fact, be chained to a Roman soldier 24/7 at this time in his life. Paul is writing from a place and experience that we in Canada might struggle to understand, but what thousands and thousands of Christians experience today in different parts of the world. He's in prison. He's persecuted for courageously following Jesus and proclaiming the gospel. The subject of Christian persecution is not prominent in our text today. You know, our full disclosure, and you know that from having me heard me just read it. So one might ask, well, Pastor, why are you focusing on that today? It's not a focus of the text. Well, it is mentioned that he's in prison. And in light of what happened 2 weeks ago, in light of what the BBC published a couple of days ago, I believe we need to be reminded of what was one, a reality in the early church, and two, what's a reality for thousands of our brothers and sisters today, and thirdly, how we can respond, how we have a responsibility to respond. As you read through Acts, you quickly find out that when the disciples obediently took the good news of Jesus and shared it with their local community and then their country and then the world, they suffered. They suffered. We come across the first martyrdom in Acts chapter 7, where we read of Stephen. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at their feet of a young man named who? Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That is to say, he died. Lord, do not hold the sin against them. Reminds us a lot of what Jesus said from the cross, didn't it? Doesn't it? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And just a chapter or two later, a couple of chapters later, that same Saul has had an encounter with Jesus. And that, look what happens to Saul when the days had passed. Jews plotted to kill him. The one who sanctioned the stoning of Stephen, now he is on the other end of the persecution. It says, Their plot became known to Saul, who we call Paul, the author of Ephesians, right? And they were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him, but his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. Isn't that incredible? Do you love the drama of the Bible? These true stories for us. Reminds us of what Paul would say later in his life. After experiencing that and experiencing so many other persecutions, he would say from 2 Timothy, let's read this one together. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Will be persecuted. Will be. Not might be. Will be. You know, and I think, although this is a very... In some senses, I thought to myself, what a serious subject for Gem Sunday. But also how fitting our young girls are learning about what it means to follow Jesus. And as Rachel and the leaders know, following Jesus in this world isn't an easy life. It won't be easy for them. It won't be. But if they don't have examples like you and me that are willing to suffer for Christ, how can we expect them to be willing to suffer for Christ, right? So we have to not only know that this is going to be a reality for us who live a godly life in Christ, but we need to be examples to that next generation because we don't know what the next generation will face, right? We don't know. It's been pretty easy for Christians in Canada for a long time. I wouldn't say it's been totally easy. Maybe you face persecution in your workplace or in your home. We're not totally void of Christian persecution in Canada, but compared to what our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka and other countries are dealing with today, we haven't seen that, right? But what about that next generation? What will they face? Will we be men and women of Christ that they can look up to? And then they can say, you know, my parents and grandparents, they were so committed. They laid that foundation so that when the hard times came, we were ready to face it. I hope they will see such genuine commitment and faithfulness in our lives, that when the days of trial come for them, they will have an example in their own home. Open Doors is an organization that monitors the persecution of Christians. And each year they survey the situation and publish what's called the World Watch List. It presents data from the previous year. So the 2019 World Watch List is data that they've collected from 2018. And the top five countries where Christian persecution exists today are, the wording is really small down here, but let me just tell you, it's North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, and Pakistan. That's the top five. Syria is number 11. Syria is number 11, where we have a family with us that has come as Christians. And if you remember Amal Hakim's testimony, you remember the persecution that she faced. And one of the reasons why she fled Syria to Lebanon was because of that, largely because of that. So how do we respond when this is happening, you know, and it's seemingly far away and out of our day-to-day reality? How do we respond? Well, I believe God's word has given us a clear directive and response, and it's this. Let's read it together. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. We talked about last week as we finished Ephesians chapter 2, the household of faith, the body of Christ, the family of God that we are a part of. And our family of God isn't just here in our little community, the people that we see. It stretches around the world, doesn't it? What did Jesus say? When one part suffers, we all suffer together. So what I have, something quite practical, I hope you'll join me in. I have something on my wrist today. You see that? I'll just hold it up here. It's a little string. It's a little string. And I've cut 100 more. You know who they're for? They're for you. Can you guess why I have these strings? I'm going to get the bag started over here. Brenda, if you don't mind. Maybe I'll take a few and put on the other side too. Just pass that around and pass that back. What I want to encourage you to do today is grab a string. You're going to need help to tie it on. Although I did it by myself, it's a little tricky. I'm wearing this string as a reminder to pray. To pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted and in bonds. The scripture says, remember those who are in prison. The word prison there in Greek comes from the root word to bind or to tie. To bind or to tie. So my invitation to you is to tie this string around your wrist. Wear it for a week or wear it till it falls off. I'll leave that up to you. But if you do, let it be a reminder to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters. Reminder to pray for those who, like Paul 2,000 years ago, was in prison for the cause of Christ. Literally bound in prison. Let it be a prompt for prayer. Let this be a prompt for prayer. When you see it, you take a moment to intercede. Pray that our persecuted family will have grace and strength in the Lord. Pray that they will know the nearness of God. Pray that they will be blessed for their faithfulness. If you're wondering, just how do I pray for them? Pray they will know the nearness of God. Pray that they will have strength in Him. Pray they will be blessed for their faithfulness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 these famous words. If you can read them with me, please do so. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are they. And perhaps, as I alluded to earlier, perhaps you are in a place like that today. Perhaps you in your working environment or your home environment or wherever you might find it, maybe in your school, maybe you're finding yourself marginalized, ostracized. Maybe people say things that are unkind to you for the cause of Christ. Know that you'll be blessed for that. Know there is a blessing in your obedience to Jesus Christ. And remember, let's remember this week those who are in prison, as though in prison with them. Think about that. When you think of that, when you see that on your wrist, imagine yourself in a jail cell with a pastor from China who, as I was reading this week, as many have been, China's been cracking down on house churches. And it's become more and more difficult there these days to be a bold follower of Jesus. Picture yourself. Yeah, try and picture yourself. What it must be like. You know, what it must have been like for Paul in prison. That was a first century prison. That's not like prison today. And I'm not sure what prison's like today, but you know, the things we hear about prison today. It would have been very different in the first century. And it's very different in other parts of the world. Very hard. Very hard. Let's take a moment now and let's pause in our hearts to pray for our brothers and sisters in prison. To remember, too, that there could be a spiritual side of Paul's word here. As he says, he calls himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He calls himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He's, in one sense, in a spiritual sense, he sees himself as captive to Christ. And I hope we will see ourselves as captive to Christ. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we've been reminded. We've been reminded with images on our TVs. We've been reminded with news feeds, like the one that came out just 2 days ago. We've been reminded in your word that we're a part of a family that suffers. In different parts of the world, there is just real suffering for the gospel. And Father, we are thankful today for the faithfulness of those believers. Because if they weren't faithful, they wouldn't be suffering. But they are faithful. There are many, many, many who have been so faithful. So Lord, we remember them today. We thank you for their courage. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that they would know your nearness, that they would know your strength. Lord, that they would know in their hearts the blessing that you promised, Jesus. And Father, would you please help us? Lord, help us to be a faithful community here on this side of the world. Help us, Lord, to not put comfort before commitment. Lord, we pray for those here in our church family that have that face a persecution of one kind or another for following Jesus, perhaps in their home or their school or their work. Lord, would you give them courage and fortitude? Help us to be the kind of community that you want us to be. Help us to remember as we come around the table of the Lord today that, Jesus, you suffered. How can we expect not to if you did? Teach us, Lord, to be willing to give our lives as Jesus, you gave your life. Teach us, Lord, a willingness and a grace to be so courageous. To, Lord, speak up. And to remember, Lord, that you said if we deny you before men, we'll be denied before the Father. But if we acknowledge you before men, you will acknowledge us before the Father. Well, thank you, Lord. And now as we gather around the table of the Lord, may our hearts be prepared. May our gratitude be lifted as we think about Jesus, as we think about the cross, as we think about your broken body and shed blood for us.